once again, it's good to see everyone back here this afternoon. For a short time this afternoon, we're going to be going right into the theme or the topic that we've been discussing this month. My particular topic is going to be Psalms 2 as well as Acts chapter 4. Dwayne this morning did an excellent job of kind of alluding to this lesson this afternoon. He touched on the topic, and I can say that throughout this month, I think there's going to be some great lessons that transition into each other almost seamlessly. So to begin, we're going to talk about this briefly this afternoon. We're going to see the, how Psalm 2 and Acts, the fourth chapter, tie into each other and how they allude to each other. And we're going to be diving into where John and Peter are basically imprisoned and then they're released. And we're going to be talking primarily upon that this afternoon. But before we begin, we do have the opportunity and we do have the privilege to go to God in prayer. And we would ask that you humble yourselves as we bow and pray. In many instances, as a speaker, I'm sure every speaker has their own goals and things that they wish to achieve through their speaking and through their sharing of the gospel. Many it may be just purely just edifying the congregation, bringing up topics or ideas or thoughts that would be even more thought-provoking, causing others to go home and study the subject further, which is always good. Some have the ability to completely just open up an idea to an individual, maybe just all of a sudden say something that causes light bulbs to come on and cause us to see the scriptures in a completely different way than we have before by approaching it at a different angle or a different perspective. That really kind of opens up the scriptures to us in regards to our ability to understand it. This afternoon, really the goal is just basically just to for us to kind of talk about this in a way. And my goal really is just, if you can imagine trying to approach a subject as if you're looking through a keyhole into another room, this is really more or less just to try to broaden that keyhole, if you will, for us to maybe get a better picture of what's going on in the scriptures, if you will. And as I said before, with all the many lessons that we're going to be hearing this month as they transition into one another, by the end of it, I believe we will have a much broader picture and a much better image for us to really kind of focus on and better understand this portion of Scripture. But to begin this afternoon, we'll be reading from Psalm 2. We will read the whole psalm. Here Psalm 2 reads, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king, O my holy hill of Zion. And I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him." Psalm 2 is credited to David by the New Testament, Acts chapter 4, verse 25, where the Bible reads, "Who by the mouth of your servant David had said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things?" The apostles applied this idea to the persecution of Jesus by Israel's religious leaders. We can find that in Acts chapter 4, verses 27 through 28. And this song, or psalm, expresses amazement that cultures and governments on earth would try to ignore God. The consequences of that will be dire. Instead, it's better to honor God than to serve Him. Now, the opening lines of this psalm form kind of a rhetorical question. And the point is not to search out for an answer, but to make a point. There seems no good reason why anyone, even kings and rulers, would try to defy God. The motivation of rebelling against God is selfishness and pride. And this also comes with anger and hatred. There are multiple verses in Scripture that point to this. For examples, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19. And then, of course, as we read before, Psalm 2, verse 1 and 3. The fury of earthly people is not intimidating to God. In fact, His response to those who attempt to defy Him is laughter. The symbolism of God laughing implies His complete power and His sovereignty. When a nation, rages in this case, and God laughs in response, it suggests just how outmatched sinful people are. Despite the angst of those who disobey, God will establish His rule through Christ, just as He promised in Psalm 2, verses 4 and 6. Now, David ends the psalm pleading with kings and rulers to make the wiser choice. In context, it says fear refers to a respect or submission, not necessarily the fear that we may think of where we may feel in terror. And to rejoice with trembling carries a similar idea. A reference to emotion and also a reference to sincerity. In ancient culture, polite forms of, for example, of a kiss were the equivalent of a modern hug or a handshake, as we are more experienced in Western society. To kiss the Son implies giving due honor and giving respect to the Anointed One. Now, if you turn to Acts chapter 4, for my topic this afternoon was Psalms 2 and Acts chapter 4, verse 26. Here, in verse 26, it reads, "The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ." In Acts chapter 4, this verse comes immediately after Peter and John are released from custody and went to their own companions or their own friends or acquaintances. Referred to in Psalm verse 2 when it says, "In one accord," in verse 25, they said, "Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things?" And this is where we're going to spend the majority of our time this afternoon reading and trying to get a better understanding why the circumstances that were happening in Acts chapter 4, and specifically in verse 25 and 26, ties directly to what we read in Psalm 2. So we need to go back to the beginning of Acts chapter 4. And we need to begin, and we'll begin reading as this will give us a little bit more context. And it also kind of helps set the scene for our understanding, kind of get an overview or overall look. It says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain and of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, And as many as were of the family of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you all. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in his name, in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, where the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Their prayer for boldness was answered. Let's go back to 23 again. So the prayer for boldness that was prayed after Peter and John returned was with their brethren to report all that they had been said to them is why they had joined together. Acts chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach the name of Jesus." This is what they were told to do. And their prayer was addressed to the Lord God and Creator of all things. In verse 24, it said, "So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." In Psalm 2, 1, it talks about who prophesied by the mouth of his servant David. And in Psalm 2, verses 2 through 3, mentions of the nation's rage and plotting against his Christ. And this was fulfilled by Herod and Pilate, by the Gentiles of Israel. And who did according to his predetermined purpose? Well, in Psalms 2, 4, and 6, it says, Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Prayer was also asking for boldness in the face of such threats. You know, the kings of the earth have taken their stand in today's time as well. We have rulers that have been appointed to rule over us. Some still try to claim to, I guess by societal standards, Christian morals and ethics. Some have completely written God off. Rulers and organizations have gathered against the Lord and against our Savior Christ Jesus and against Christians as well. And because of societal backlash, God has been removed from our schools and from our society as a whole, it seems, even more so in these recent years. They've created a society of promiscuity and pretty much things in just in our everyday life. The powers that be seem to want to remove God from the face of the very earth that He created. And yes, there may come a time soon where we may be threatened, as Peter and John were in Acts chapter 4, where we may be persecuted, much like they were. There may come a time where we have a great blessing to live in a country where we're able to worship openly as we do. That time may not last. Don't know if it's in this lifetime or the lifetime to come, but we know as Christians that by following Christ, there are going to be tough times, or there are going to be times where our faith is called in question, where our faith is tested, and where our faith is looked down upon to the point where we may not be able to worship openly as we do conveniently now. Where we may be persecuted as they were in the first century church. And if that time should come in our lives, may we be able to do like Peter and John did. May we be threatened and may we be imprisoned for a time. But may we be faithful enough and bold enough to be able to join together with our brothers and sisters and pray with one another for boldness. Not for the tribulation to subside per se, not for others to leave us alone so that we can worship in comfort and ease as before, but may we come together in one heart and one spirit to pray for boldness, to pray for us to be able to speak His word with boldness. And that is basically what I really got out of this topic. I can say, and this has been, I could probably sound like a broken record when I say this. I've mentioned it many times, as have other members that have spoken. But I can say, by doing these topics, oftentimes we're able to get a topic that normally we may not look at a second time or twice and give it a thought. But it provokes us to look into things deeper, to try and find different avenues or perspectives for us to get a more, not necessarily understanding versus not understanding, but maybe just a fuller understanding of God's Word. At this time, we do want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call. We also want to offer an invitation to any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church for any matter. And we'll ask that you come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.